It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and we thank him, praise him for his mercies and his faithfulness. And we carry on, and we are still looking at this aspect of the spirit. And yesterday we were able to speak about the mind and the importance of setting our minds after the things of the spirit. And we're able to say and to see that we have a choice. As believers, we have a choice, the direction in which we want our minds to focus on. And that direction determines the outcome of our destiny. You know, when Jesus and when God spoke to the Israelites, he told them, I set before you today life and death. And he tells them, I choose, set before you blessings and curses. And he tells them, choose life. So in every day of our lives, God is always going to allow these two options to come to us. There is a destiny that God has for you. There is a place, there is a glory that is set for you. You know, the Bible says there's a glory that was set before us. Even for Jesus, there was a glory that was set before him before the foundations of the earth were laid. That, you know, that there was a path he was going to go through, either a path of suffering that leads into glory, or if he does not choose that path, he will not have been the savior of the world. So there is a set glory that is set for us, and God will always give us the choice. Do you want to set your mind on the way of the Spirit, on the direction of the Spirit, or do you want to set your mind on the things of the flesh, on the dictates of the flesh, on the, you know, when it speaks of dictates, it's the guidance. You know, there is a way that the flesh has a guidance that it can lead you in a certain way. If you allow it to lead you, it leads you to death and destruction. But if you allow the Spirit to dictate his commandments, to speak his words, to give you direction, and you obey, if you allow the Holy Spirit, who is a person? He is a clear person that wants to lead us, that wants to walk with us, that wants to direct our steps. He loves us so much. You know, many times we confuse the people, think the Holy Spirit is just a force that you can use, but he is truly a person. And in fact, the Bible refers to him as the Spirit of Christ. You know, whenever, let's say, someone dies and the person appears to someone in a dream, we say the spirit of this person appeared to this person, you know. So when you speak the spirit of a person has left him, that means the person has died. The person has died when the spirit of that person dies. When that person dies, the physical person, when he dies, we say the spirit left him. So whenever we speak of the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of Christ. He is the true person of Christ, and he is the one that is on the earth, that is at this point of our dispensation, at this point of our journey of life, he is available to walk with us. And he not only lives in us, but he is also with us. He fills all things. He is in every place. David said, where can I flee from your presence? There is nowhere where he could run away from God. And that is the God that fills everything, the universe. He said, even if he goes to hell, he is there, that the Spirit of the Lord will find him there. But beyond him being everywhere, he also has chosen to make his home in you and me, in you and me that have believed in the Christ. He has chosen to make his home in us. He dwells in us. And not only does he dwell on us, he also comes upon us. And when he comes upon us, that is when he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you are able to speak in the heavenly language because he has come upon you. All these are manifestations of the Spirit of Christ. And one of the things that you'll realize about Jesus is that he promised us the Holy Spirit, and he promised that he will come and make himself manifest to us. Manifest. He says he wants to make himself known. And God chooses various ways through the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. That's why the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the good of all, for the profit of all. Every manifestation of the Spirit, be it word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, the gift of tongues, the gift of healings, the gift of miracles, every manifestation of the Holy Spirit is a representation, is an evidence that the God, that Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, is revealing himself through you and me. It might be even just revelation. The Holy Spirit can choose to reveal himself, to make himself manifest in our lives just through revelation. So you must be sensitive to ask yourself, how does the Holy Spirit want to reveal himself? Now, if you read Romans chapter 8, and it says that if we look at from verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 8, the Bible says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. You as a believer, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So Christians, those that have given their lives to Jesus, those that have allowed the Holy Spirit to indwell them, are not in the flesh. All these things that we say of anyone who wants to do anything in the flesh, in his own human capacity, cannot please God. If you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. That is why people try religion on their own human effort. But it does not please God. The only way we please God is by the Spirit. And the Bible is reminding us, but you are not in the flesh. So that means we that bear the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit, we that are in the Spirit, we please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if anyone does not have the indwelling Spirit, indwelling Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ, anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to God. He does not belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God's signature. You know, when you look at the earth, when you look at a work of art, there will always be a signature of the Creator. They will have a sign so that he can identify that I am the one that made this. Now, when you come to believe in Christ, God gives you the seal of the Holy Spirit. He gives you that mark. The Bible says you are marked and with him with a seal until the day of redemption. There is a mark that God has placed on us. And that mark is the mark of the Holy Spirit. And that is the evidence of that you belong to God. And the Bible says that I will give you, we will come and make our home in with you, and we will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit does not leave us because he has promised to make his home upon us. In the Old Testament, yes, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit was not made manifest. And that is why David will cry out and say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because to David, that time the Holy Spirit will come and go. The anointing will come and go. You can think about Saul. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit left him, an evil spirit came into him. Samson, when the Holy Spirit will come upon him, he will be mighty. But then the Holy Spirit left him, but Jesus has promised us that he will come and abide with us forever. That is by his own words when he says he has sealed us until the day of redemption. The moment you have received Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with you and makes his home forever in your spirit. And he wants you to live a life that is controlled by the Spirit. You know, he is a life-giving Spirit. He wants you to live your life from the Spirit, a life that is led by the Spirit. And that's why he says that if, Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if you have the Spirit of Christ, you belong to Christ. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, remember we're speaking about the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So God is saying, when you look at yourself, remember we've spoke about the three components, the body, the mind or the soul, and the spirit. Now, when we judge the mind, when we judge the body is sinful, the body is dead. And the Bible says that the body is dead because sin was found in the flesh. Sin in the flesh, but that sin in the flesh is condemned by the Spirit of life. Remember, the Spirit of life has made us free. The law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life judges the sin in the flesh. And that sin in the flesh is declared powerless over you. And God is telling us, if this Christ is in you, remember Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that was hidden. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we have a body which sin brings to death, but then we have a spirit that has been given life and righteousness. And then we have a mind that is in between, a computer that needs to align itself. That's why the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Obey the Spirit. Follow after the things of the Spirit. Now, if you follow after the things of the Spirit, then the Bible says the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, he's saying, we are saying the body, because of sin, is dead and is condemned to die. And that is why this body shall be left here. God has to give us glorified bodies that are not under the subject to sin. The glorified bodies, when we receive it, cannot suffer corruption. But this body on the earth suffers corruption because of sin. But God gives us, he says, if the Spirit of him, that means the Spirit of God, the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. That means when Jesus died, there was the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, that came and raised Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit is resident in us. The Bible says that same Spirit dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. This is one of the secrets of healing. This is one of the secrets of regeneration, that the life-giving spirit, the spirit that quickened Jesus, the spirit that gave life to the body of Jesus when he was in the grave and raised him from the dead, if that same spirit dwells in you and me, that same spirit will breathe life to your mortal body. So your bodiless is condemned to death because of sin. Your body is judged because of sin in the flesh, is dead. But God is saying there is a way that regeneration comes. When the Bible says, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow, out of your inner man, out of the depths of your spirit, shall flow rivers of living water. That means rivers of life. There is a regeneration that comes from the Spirit of God, even to your mortal body. Think about Moses. The Bible tells us Moses was 120 years old and his eyes had not grown dim and his natural strength had not abated. That means he was still full of vigor and vitality. Think about Caleb. Caleb says, I was young. You know, I'm still as strong as I was when I left Egypt, when I was 40 years old, as I am when I'm 85 years old. There is a strength that God gives to those that still look unto him. There is a regeneration. There is a life that flows from the Spirit to our bodies to give us life. So that means even that body that is dying from sickness, that is dying from, you know, from troubles, that is dying from a flesh that is weak to sin. When your flesh is weak and you know that you're weak and you tell God, Holy Spirit, help me, strengthen me, give me the life of the Spirit. Then life flows from the Spirit to your mind, to your body. And gives it life. And the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, he shall also give life to your mortal bodies. So there is a life component that comes from the Spirit of God. Remember, this life is Zoe, the God kind of life, or the life of God. There is a life of God that flows from him and flows to our bodies. And now, it can even flow beyond our bodies to even our environment, to even our clothes, to even our workplaces. And that is where now the manifested presence of God flows, because he has saturated us, he has possessed us, he has filled us so much that it is no longer about just us. He is able to permeate every sphere of our lives. Think about Peter. The Bible says that even people will place the sick along the path where he would walk, that his shadow might just touch some of them, and they were all healed. They were healed. That is an evidence that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead went through, came to his mortal body, gave it life, and beyond even his body, to his environment, and impacted him, that, you know, towels and handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched were taken to sick people. There was an extension of that manifested presence of God in the lives of the believers, that it even went to intangible objects. That glory was able to be transmitted, because he is the Spirit of Christ. He has the power. He has the power. The Bible says he will give life to your mortal body. So you can speak to your mortal bodies. You can speak to your dead cells. You can speak to every part of you that has been dead, that it can be regenerated with the life of God. And that same Spirit is available. And that's why the Bible says, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God is saying that, how will you be led by the Spirit of God? It is by the Spirit putting to death the deeds of the flesh. That means there is no capacity that we have to kill the flesh apart from the infusing strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Apart from your cry to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, show me the way. Holy Spirit, give me peace of mind. Give me calmness in this situation. Give me the wisdom. Now, when you submit yourself, when you yield yourself, your members, to the Holy Spirit, then he is able to overcome any aspects of the flesh that are in you. And they are brought into obedience to Christ. And that's why the Bible says, when you are led, for as many as are led, those that are led are those that are the mature sons of God. The word there for sons of God is heos, the mature sons of God. Maturity comes from your surrender of your mind, of your body, of your intellect, of your will, of your emotions. When you have learned to surrender, that you are led by the Spirit of God, that you obey the Spirit of God, that you put to death the deeds of the body, then you shall experience that aspect of being led by the Holy Spirit. Let us just connect it with John chapter 14 and verse, John chapter 14 verse 15. The Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." You know, Jesus promised his disciples two things, that if you love me, your evidence of your love is your keeping of my commandments. When we say those that are led, those that are willing to obey the commandments of the Holy Spirit, willing to obey the commandments of Christ, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. The other helper is called Paracletos, one that walks alongside with you. The Holy Spirit has been given to walk alongside with us, and the Bible says that he may abide with you forever. This is what we are talking about. The Holy Spirit is given to dwell in us forever. He does not leave us. And the Bible says the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Why? How do you know the Holy Spirit? How do you know the helper that has been sent? For he dwells with you and will be in you. The Bible says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus is coming back to us. He's coming back to his disciples. That's why we call him the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, because Jesus himself says, I will come to you. Look at verse 19. It says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. How do you see Jesus? You see Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You see God through the Holy Spirit. Because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You can read that again. The Bible says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You can put your name there. It says, and in that day you will know that Jesus is in the Father, and you, Emmanuel, you are in Jesus, and Jesus is in Emmanuel. Jesus is in you. Put your name there. Jesus is in the Father, and we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. This is the mystery of koinonia, the mystery of communion, the mystery of the fellowship. When we say the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is we in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in us. Remember, the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirits. There is that union. He has made his home in us. That's why Paul clearly says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He has chosen to make his home in you and me. And verse 21, which is very important, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Remember, we are speaking about being led by the Spirit of God. That means you receive the commandments of God and you keep them. You read the commandments of God, you keep them, you obey them, you guard them. It is he who loves me. And the Bible says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know, many times we say, oh God, manifest your presence to me. Show me that you are real. The key is here. If you love me and you keep my commandments, you love me. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That word manifest there is emphanizo. That means he wants to exhibit himself. He wants to display himself. What a beauty when God chooses to display his glory through your life. That your life just emanates glory. Your life just emanates a life that is empowered by God. A life that is beautified by God. A work that is beautified, that men look for ways to, you know, to discredit you, but each and every time your work speaks for itself. The glory that God has placed on you just emanates, just shines through. There is a radiance that God gives you. And God is saying that if you love me, if you keep my commands, you will be the ones that experience the leading of the Spirit of God. You'll be the ones that God refers to, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, those that have put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh, and have allowed the Holy Spirit to give life to their mortal bodies, to give life to their minds, to direct their minds, to control their minds. Those that allow, those that have submitted themselves to the Holy Spirit, are the sons of God. And those are the ones that God makes himself manifest to. Many people want the gifts. They want the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But they come from the place of surrender. They come from the place of obedience. They come from the place of yielding to the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. And when God displays himself to you, the world will come and hear you. I think it's one John Knox that cried out and said, I will set myself on fire and the world will come and watch me burn. On fire for the Holy Spirit. The world will come and watch. The world will come and see the glory of God that is displayed on you. That light that cannot be hidden, that makes you a city on the hill, is for the glory of God, not for our own pleasure. Just like the Holy Spirit brings glory to the Father and to the Son, likewise we too bring glory to Christ when we display him. May the Lord help us and give us understanding in this. I'll stop here, my brother. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manmo. No additions from my side.
Okay. Yeah, let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are God, you are gracious, you are holy. Your word is true, that if we submit ourselves to you, you make yourself manifest to us. Thank you. Thank you for your truth. Help us to keep them. Help us to keep your commandments. Help us to be led by you, that we experience the Spirit of Christ, the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Continue to dwell in us. Continue to live through us. Continue to help us to hear your voice, to know your voice in a deeper way, to be obedient to the truth, that as we experience truth, we shall live in the newness of life. May your name be praised. May your name be worshipped. May your name be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.